Thank you, Jeff and team. It's really kind of wonderful when you come up here to preach and the whole message has just been brought alive before you as you sing. Again, thank you, team. I'm pleased that I have the privilege today of being the one who has the message assigned to today. We're working through a study. The topic is spiritual warfare. The subtopic is preparation for temptation. And the set of messages we're currently in is called Put on Every Piece of God's Armor. It comes from the passage in Ephesians chapter 6. And let's pray. Father, we are most thankful that we can come to you within this context, this topic, this need to study what you tell us about the battle and about you. Father, we're thankful for the privilege that we had to sing and sing the wonderful stories of your power and might and our place of protection within. We thank you. In Jesus' name, we pray that as we look at your word, we'll be inspired to follow you further. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. I just want to bring one thing from this slide to your attention before we move forward into the message, and it's simply the little expression down in the bottom right-hand corner, a piece I added late in my preparation. And I added it to as many of the slides as I could fit it on, and it simply says, I am not alone. That is an extremely important piece of what we need to think all the way through. I am not alone. Is there spiritual warfare? Yes. Is there the need to prepare for temptation? Yes. Is there armor? Yes. And I'm not alone. Just to remember the context of our study, this little slide has been used a number of times. I'm not going to go any further into it, but just so we keep perspective as to what we're doing. And as we move into the passage for today, again, Ephesians chapter 6 is where we're going. It is about... And I wrote the words because I want us to remember very specifically a point that I think Bill made on the first part of this section, and Len mentioned again last week, and this is about every piece of God's armor. We've divided it up. Bill did the introduction. Len did two of the components of the armor last week. I'm doing two this week, and Peter Accetti is doing what follows next week. But the scriptures say it's every piece, so we keep it all together, every piece of God's armor. I am not alone. It's still there. Now, you knew it was coming, and I'm glad you knew it was coming. You might look at the title in the picture and you might say, Graham, that looks strange. I had to go searching to find the right picture for today. I really had to go searching. I went back 7 years in my photographs to find the one I wanted because I wanted one that illustrates the most important point about today. This is the Lord's battle. And here I have my little granddaughter, Micah. At this point, she was about, 30-some hours old. She is resting on her dad. He's holding her securely. She's absolutely at peace. I love the picture, but I love the fact that it expresses the truth of how we win the battle. we'll come back. We're actually going to, we're going to come back. We're going to look at this picture one more time before we come to the end. But I want you to remember this. This is one of God's little ones, like you and I are, and absolutely secure and at peace in her father's arms. So let's read it. Ephesians chapter 6, and if you recall last week, Len read the entire passage. I'm doing the same thing, because it's all part of recognizing this all comes together. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, and I'm going to ask you to please pay attention to all of it, of course, but I'm going to ask you to also pay careful attention to how it starts. Verse 10, a final word. Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against all strategies of the devil. For we're not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. Therefore, put on every piece of God's armor, so you will be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then, after the battle, you will still be standing firm. Stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness. That was Len's message last week. Then the section we're dealing with today, four shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news so that you will be fully prepared. In addition to all of these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Put on salvation as your helmet and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. So, the battle armor. That's what we're here to consider carefully today. And I believe to do this well, it's important for us to look a bit at the context of the passage from which these words come. And this is Paul's letter to the Ephesians. And if you look at the full letter, it's basically divided into the first half and the last half, with the first half really focused on our riches in Christ. In the second half, it's really focused on our responsibilities in Christ. And therefore, we look at this section that we're turning to, at where it says a final word. And what I'm saying here, what I want you to think about, is that in this passage, within our responsibilities, we have the armor study, and this is the key verse for the entire armor study. Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against all strategies of the devil, and we are not alone. So, there's something about the entire study that I'd like you to look at before we get into the details of the two that we want to look at specifically tonight. When we look at this battle armor story that Paul sends to the Ephesians, it's interesting to note that there's six of them. Four of them, he uses the expression put on, put on, put on, put on. For one, he says, hold it up. And for the last one, he says, take it. Okay, now, I want you to think about that. I want you to think about both similarities and distinctive difference. The similarity is whether it's put on, hold up, or take, every single one of those are action items on our part. They are. They're action items on our part. You put it on, you hold it up, and you take it. They're all action items, but they're not all the same. If you think of yourself going out to battle, and you put on, I'm going to stay with my two just for the sake of clarity, when you put on your shoes, you hope that they stay on. You do more than hope. You put them on in a way that will keep them on as long as you need them on, but you still put them on. Okay? When it comes to the shield of faith and you talk about holding up, what I'm going to say is the hold up language is much more extensive. There's a great deal more involved in how you go about doing what you got to do if you are holding it up than if you're simply putting it on. So let's move forward with that, and again with the reminder that we are not alone. So let's look for a moment at the issue of shoes. Paul is using language to help us get his point. Why shoes? Well, there's a couple of things I think is very important for us to have a proper perspective here. First of all, in the epistle to the Ephesians, Paul's letter to them, he uses imagery consistently throughout it. And he has very extensive imagery that has to do with both walking and standing. The words are used a number of times in the book. Walking and standing as imagery to capture for us the entire idea of our Christian life. Okay? Our Christian life. That's what Paul is talking about. And when he uses shoes, therefore, shoes naturally fit right into the entire idea of walking and standing. I recall a number of years ago when my kids were little, we went on a vacation where we did a lot of walking. And I was trying to travel light because we was on a different continent. And I took two pair of shoes with me. I thought I had what I needed. One pair, I would say, were pretty good for walking, pretty comfortable, they worked. And the other pair looked nicer, but they weren't so good for walking. And I discovered that as we were, as the holiday progressed, because I kind of got into the habit of back and forth between them. And I discovered that I was developing sores on my feet on one day, and fixing them the next. The shoes were extremely important. I should have thrown away the pair that looked good and walked only with the good pair. Shoes matter. Let's think about it. He says, shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news, so that you will be fully prepared. So, what we're talking about here is something we put on. He wants us to be actively involved in the doing of this. Put on the peace that comes from the good news so that you will be fully prepared. A couple of other references that help us. In Romans chapter 5, we are told that we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ our Lord has done for us. We have peace with God. We also know from Galatians chapter 5, where we are taught the truth of the Holy Spirit in our lives, the Holy Spirit who comes to us and lives within us as we've placed our faith in Jesus Christ, each of us are blessed with having the Holy Spirit to live within, and within the teaching there in Galatians chapter 5 concerning the Holy Spirit, the fruit or the result of the Holy Spirit living within us is peace. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, and so on. Peace is right there. So the Spirit brings us peace. So we have appreciation. Nothing changes in terms of, is there peace with God and are we always at peace with God? Yes, always. Our appreciation for peace and living with that sense of peace and living out that peace does have to do with the actions that we take in being attentive to His Spirit and His movements within us. And we live in response to the Spirit and we experience the peace that is the result of that. So there's activity on our part to put on the shoes, peace with God, the peace of God, and it enables us to stand upright and keep moving forward. Now, before we leave the concept of shoes, I want you to also think of something else concerning it. When you think of the significance of shoes on your feet, maybe the quickest one that comes to mind is maybe walking on a hot summer day on the beach up at Batchewana. And you run quick for the water because you can't stand on the sand any longer. Your feet can't take it. Well, how about a stony road? Maybe when we're kids, we run across them and survive it. At my age, you don't run across and survive anymore. You find your shoes first. And you put them on because they make a difference. They make a difference in terms of how we walk, how we stand, how we live our Christian life. I want to also raise one more thing before we move forward, and it's this. Peace. Let's think about peace for a moment. And think about what it means to not have peace. If you think of entering into a difficult challenge, a battle of any kind, and you are in turmoil. I've been in turmoil in my life, I can assure you. You are in turmoil. Your competency in dealing with the battle is weakened. Peace? Yes. God wants us. God not only has made peace with us, God has provided His Spirit so that as we live in accordance with the Spirit, we experience peace in our lives. He wants us to trust Him and to experience and enjoy that peace every step of the way. Is that armor? Yes, folks, that's armor. That's armor that defeats the actions of the evil one against us. The peace in our own soul as we trust the God who is absolutely trustworthy, loves us with an unfailing love, and has power and might beyond our most extraordinary imagination. Deep peace. We have the privilege of being responsive and therefore effective. Now let's talk about shield. The scriptures say, in addition to all of these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Now, I believe, as I already said, the language of hold up suggests the necessity for something more requiring skill and action than simply putting on, even though I'm not putting down the importance of putting on those shoes. But there's more involved here. Now, I also want to say a little bit about fiery arrows. This is not a message in which we're attempting to have a full and comprehensive teaching about how does Satan work. That's not what we're about, not today. This is about the armor. But it's important, and for illustration only, I've listed a couple of things. Am I unbalanced in my illustrations? Probably. But I'm going to at least suggest that Satan loves to get you, and me too, through things like things that of doubts, things where we may begin to despair. There's something that is important and matters, and we've been maybe even praying for it for a long time, and we feel despair. Things that happen in life that, quite frankly, are simply adverse. Life includes things of that nature. Things that come along that are a sharp temptation to us. Maybe a personal tragedy that occurs, and maybe even a personal triumph. You might wonder, so why would you put a personal triumph in with those others? Because a personal triumph can encourage pride to build up. What I'm simply going to say is Satan has many ways of attacking. That's not all. Maybe that's not even a good way of summarizing the ones that came to my mind, but those came to my mind. And the issue is that they are fiery arrows. And he can hit us, and it can be hurtful. And the last point just now is to remember that a shield does not stop the arrows from being sent. That's not the purpose of a shield. It doesn't stop the arrows from being sent, but it does stop the damage. The damage that's intended, the shield held up in the proper position, fighting off the arrows, protects us from the damage that Satan would love to do to us, and we are not alone. Remember, it's a shield of faith. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. As the first word of our passage again says, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Our shield against all those attacks of Satan against us is faith in our Lord. It's faith in him. Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. So consciously, what am I encouraging me and you today? Consciously learning him. Now, I'm going to make it personal just for a moment. I want to tell you what's been effective in my life. I have had the wonderful privilege, and I've used the name before, of having a book by G. Campbell Morgan that is the opening up of each of the four Gospels. That book has helped me find my way to him. It's not that everything is perfect in it. That's not the point. The scriptures are the point. The Lord we find in the scriptures is the point. And my blessing has been to read the Gospels and to read the stories and get myself into the story so I see him there. And I sense what he's doing and I begin to understand and I know my Lord better. And I thank him and I praise him. And in knowing him and placing my trust in him, then I have the shield. And when Satan sends me as he wishes to and as he will, the attack that suggests to me that a disaster's on the way and I got nothing for it this time, I can hold up the shield of faith in Jesus. The one who loves me, the one who gave himself for me, and the one who told me to do this and to hold it up before him. Consciously trusting him today. Every one of us who placed our faith in Jesus Christ for our salvation, we trust him. He wants us to trust him today. He wants us to trust him always. He wants us to hold up the shield of faith. Remember, a shield needs to be used skillfully and attentively. And therefore, that conscious attention to him and his victory and his support for us is what we wish to do with the shield. And we wish to say, again, we are not alone. I want to read these two verses from Philippians. And Bill, I'm going to apologize ahead of time. I know that you've got a message coming that follows that's about prayer. I can't end the use of these two pieces of armor without talking about prayer. This is only a short piece. There will be still lots of message left for Bill. This passage is very much about using the shield of faith and trusting in the peace that he gives and praying. Let's read it. Don't worry about anything. If this is language slightly different than you're used to, I'm using the NLT, and this is how it says it. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. We pray. Is that the way of using the armor? Yes, it sure is. It's the way we use our armor. And I'm going to encourage you to have a prayer time, a quiet time before the Lord with the Bible in your hand and praying to him and taking those things that make you fear. I have things that make me fear, folks, and I'm sure you do too. Things that make you fear, and you take them before the Lord, and you might cry when you're there. But you put it before him, and you thank him for what he's doing, and you thank him for where it leads as opposed to what it feels like at the moment. Pray, folks, pray. I want to remind you something that Len said last week. He said, pray about us. He said, because Satan doesn't like the teaching about how to use the armor. He's right. He's right about that. And I'm going to say to you, please pray for Len and his family. Because if you think that Satan doesn't want us to do it, that's true. He'd also love us to fall flat on our faces when we're finished. He'd love it if that was so. So pray for Len and his family. Pray for Grace and I and our family. Pray for Peter. Peter Achetti is doing the message next week as well, and Bill is going to be following up. Please pray for each one of us. But I want to tell you something else. It's wonderful to be able to pray. But if you think I'm standing up here today saying, oh dear, woe is me, the devil's about to get me, I don't use the language, the devil made me do it. And I do not use the language that the devil's going to get me. I do not. Because I am content that the devil would love to get us. He'd love to make us trip and fall and say awful things. He would. But let's remember, you know, all those wonderful hymns that Jeff and the team had us singing. Is that right, good, and proper? It is. It is. Let's remember that our God is mighty and powerful. And if we ever begin to think that somehow, well, God is against Satan and I wonder who's going to win here. Folks, no. No, no, no. It's not that way at all. Does Satan have power? Yes. Will he attack us? Yes. Is our God greater? Absolutely, folks. So much more greater that we should worship, honor, and praise him in every way. He is the victorious one. We are with him. We are not alone. And we must never forget that. So, I came back to Micah. And I come back both to give the team time to get up here, but I want you to remember, I really, really want you to remember a little one in her daddy's arms, trusting completely. She doesn't know she's using armor, but trusting completely and absolutely at peace. Folks, that is our privilege. Jeff, go ahead.
Thank you, Graham.